Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Early voting now underway for the San Antonio May 6th city elections. On the ballot is the election for mayor and the 10 city council seats, but there's also a citywide vote on making a change to the municipal charter. It's been called the Justice Charter Amendment, and they pack in a lot in this proposed amendment, and many of the issues are polarizing. This hour, we're going to hear from both sides of Prop A, and we invite you to join the conversation with your questions and comments. The number is 833-877-8255. 833-TPR-TALK. You can send us an email to thesource@tpr.org. You can also text us at that call-in number, 833-877-8255. This hour, we're joined by Ananda Thomas, the Executive Director of Act 4 SA and former Deputy Director of Fix SAPD. And Ananda Thomas, welcome to The Source. Also with us today, we have Danny Diaz, the president of the San Antonio Police Officers Association, and they have been taking the lead in educating the public about why they want to see a no vote on Proposition A. And Danny Diaz, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me, sir.
So, Ananda Thomas, do we have you?
Yes.
All right, fantastic. Thank you. If you could tell us, you know, you were one of the leaders who helped put together the petition and went out and got the signatures to put it on the ballot. Can you give us an overview of what is in Proposition A?
Yes, so Proposition A will decriminalize low-level marijuana and abortion by directing police not to arrest for these things. It will also ban no-knock warrants and chokeholds, which are in policies and procedures. You know, we want to codify that. And codify the successful cite and release program to give citations to appear to court over arrests for certain low-level nonviolent misdemeanors. And finally, implement a justice director to be a public policy analyst and counsel as a mediator between police and the community as we continue to find public safety solutions that work for us all.
All right. Danny Diaz, y'all have been with the San Antonio Police Officers Association encouraging people to vote in opposition to this. Why?
Well, sir, we feel that it's a detriment to the community. From our standpoint, it's not codifying what they're looking for. It's expanding it. It's added some things in there that we feel are a detriment for safety as far as Class C misdemeanors. I know it's been said that these are nonviolent crimes. On the Class C misdemeanor side, we beg to differ. You know, we're in Fiesta right now, and individuals at times will go and they'll you know, touch a woman inappropriately on the backside. What is the expectation? You know, is it that we just give them a verbal warning and a citation? No one has a right to put their hands on anyone. And that's why some of the things, that's just one of the things that's in here. Other is graffiti, which is an expansion of our current cite and release program. The main thing here is with these items that are in here, we feel it's a detriment not only to the community, but to the citizens itself, but to the business community. There's no way of making these businesses whole with the merchandise or food or anything that they lose with these thefts going on.
Now, I've heard multiple messages about why the problems people have with Proposition A, Danny Diaz. I've heard this isn't going to accomplish anything. This is just a symbolic gesture. This is not something that the city has at this level can actually deal with these issues. And so this is more of a message sending proposition than it is an actual policy. And that's something I'll get Ananda Thomas's reaction to that second. But telling people that this isn't going to do anything, yet at the same time, this is going to turn San Antonio into San Francisco, which is another message that I've heard you say, seem to be contradictory. So do you think if this passes, Is there teeth in Proposition A? Will it actually have an impact on the way things are accomplished, policing is done in San Antonio?
Absolutely. So if you look at history, right, these things have already been done in other cities and other states. It's already happened in Austin. Their crime has gone up tremendously. They can state that it's not due to the proposition that they passed up there. But if you look at what's going on across the country, how those cities have been a downfall in certain cities, Oakland, Seattle, Portland, where you see businesses leave there. The thing is here is this community here is just getting over, you know, the pandemic and COVID. Small mom and pop stores and restaurants are just getting their head above water. What is this going to cause when people are going in constantly stealing? It's been stated from Ananda and her group that this is for first-time offenders, that they can go through a diversion program. But if they go through a diversion program, they'll never be a first-time offender because they're basically just getting away with it. And there's no way that they can how they can explain how the homeowner, how the business owner will be whole.
So there's a lot there, and we'll get into some of these things that you brought up right now. But first of all, I just want to say, you are saying that this proposition does have teeth. This will do something. This is not a symbolic proposition, and that it's to be taken seriously.
Absolutely.
Okay, and so you disagree with the mayor and with the city attorney, with people who say this is not going to accomplish anything. So let me go to Ananda Thomas, and I'm sure you think that this is a proposition that has teeth and will accomplish things. So it seems like you and Danny Diaz agree on that.
Absolutely. We have seen other cities in Texas pass similar, if not the same, measures. Six cities have decriminalized marijuana. Texas has actually codified cite and release with the same language of shall give a citation or verbal warning over arrest for these certain citation eligible misdemeanors. Austin and Killeen have banned no-knock warrants. We've had banning of chokeholds on the books for a long time. We've seen cities all across do this without a challenged state. And that's how we know that this has teeth and we can do it here in San Antonio.
And when they have Danny Diaz saying that crime in Austin is out of control, that people are stealing all the time, that's what he just said. Is that true?
No, I mean, what we're seeing right now are the after effects of one, the pandemic, and two, an upcoming recession. We know that poverty is the biggest precursor to crime because folks are desperate. They're trying to figure out how to feed their families, right, or how to diaper their children. And what we know is that incarceration only perpetuates poverty and therefore crime. Folks who go through a diversion program, we have an 8% reoffender rate compared to 30% for folks that go to jail for these types of low-level offenses. So this is crime prevention.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Our phone lines are open. Got a question or a comment about Proposition A? I'd love to hear from you. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast comes from Big Sun Solar, committed to helping businesses strive towards energy independence and conservation. Solar is a great way for businesses to lower their carbon footprint. More at bigsunsolar.com/TPR.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Early voting is now underway. It started today for the city elections. It's open. The polls are open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. It's going to be daily through Thursday. There is no early voting on Fiesta Friday. There is early voting on Saturday, and then on Monday, May 1st, through and then on Tuesday, May 2nd. And after that, it's it. So then we have the May 6th election. So if you want to vote early, not a lot of options to do that. And so we hope that people do go out and vote because there's a lot of important issues on there, the mayor race, the city council races, but also Proposition A, which we are talking about right now. It's been called the Charter Amendment. And so you can call in. Tell us what you think about this proposal, 833-877-8255, 833 TPR Talk. Danny Diaz of the San Antonio Police Officers Association. And so I want to ask you, I've saw that in a tweet from your organization, you allege that, or you just come out and say that this was written in a way deliberately to confuse the voters. I mean, it is a lot of language. It is a lot there into this ballot to try and read through it. But you say it was done deliberately to confuse voters. Can you elaborate?
Sure. From its inception, when they were out getting their signatures, there's even a news report from KSAT 12 that shows one of the signature takers asking individuals, hey, do you want to sign this petition to legalize small amounts of marijuana and abortion? And they left it at that. And, of course, the signature, the gentleman that they talked to signs it. They didn't explain what is left, the actual meat and potatoes of this petition, which deals with all the extra stuff, the classification, Class C misdemeanors, all non-arrestable offenses, with the exception of alcohol, the expansion of being able to do up to $2,500 of graffiti. All of those things were not listed in that. And when the citizens would hear it, hey, it's about marijuana and abortion, sure, they signed it. But we're here to tell you from a law enforcement standpoint, that's a state-level issue that needs to be done at Austin, not at a city charter. We've never arrested anyone for doing an abortion procedure or having an abortion. And as far as marijuana is concerned, well, the DA's pretty much already done it with having us cite individuals with up to 4 ounces of marijuana. So that is not something that should be done here. It should be done at the state.
And so when you say never, you mean like since the Dobbs decision, not like going back pre-1970?
Historically, never have. And even since this last decision, that's not part of something that we would be doing. Look, sir, we're short staffed. We don't have time to actually sit at a Planned Parenthood or wherever they hold these procedures to arrest somebody because they've done that. That's not something that we do.
Ananda Thomas, the executive director of Act4SA, former deputy director of Fix SAPD. San Antonio Police Officers Association saying that y'all deliberately confused voters to get signatures on the ballot and continue to confuse them about the issues. Can you respond?
Yeah, absolutely not. So we had handouts that had all of the tenants listed on it. We have the petition language that had to list everything. All of our petitioners had the policy language on it. And there is a news story, right, of me getting signatures, right, going through the whole wrap. Can I say that a young person who's never been on camera got nervous in front of a camera and maybe didn't go through the whole wrap? Absolutely. But we never hid any portion of this. We presented it to voters in its entirety and gave them several resources to be able to read this. And, you know, we collected over 38,000 signatures of San Antonians saying, we want to codify these things that have already been in place, no-knock warrants, chokeholds, decriminalization of weed, and cite and release, and add something new, which is the decriminalization of abortion. We know that when an officer gets a call from somebody to go surveil or arrest either a healthcare provider or somebody seeking an abortion or reproductive health decisions, they have to respond to that call. And we as a city are protecting our officers, our doctors, our community members from that. And no, this is not a priority for us. We know that we can do this because we've already done this with marijuana and with cite and release and Class C misdemeanors. And we're going to be the first city in the entire South to decriminalize abortion and give a pathway for other cities protecting their pregnant people in their community to say we are not, you know, going into this draconian system. We're not going to stand by as we see pregnant people's rights be violated.
Let's go to a voicemail that we received on this issue. And the number to call in, if you want to call in live with a question, 833-877-8255 about Proposition A. Let's give it a listen.
My name is Oscar. I'd like to know a little bit more about the data on Proposition A in other cities. I think oftentimes we make decisions and establish opinions based on how we feel emotionally, but I mean, this may be a program that, if the data supports it, could benefit the city or not. So I'd just like to know what type of data is out there on similar existing programs in other cities throughout the United States, and what does that data suggest? Thank you.
Let's go first to Danny Diaz, president of the San Antonio Police Officers Association. What data do you have about how these types of propositions impact cities?
So what's been proven in other cities that major corporations have left certain towns because of the theft and graffiti that's happened in those cities. Our property crime rate has gone up just within the first 3 months of this year, 9%. The entire year last year was at 16.2%. So you're looking at in its totality, 20% just in a year and a couple months. If this passes, we see a rise in property crime to go even higher. And that is why we're against this. It's happened already in Austin. I don't have the Austin numbers currently with me, but that's very easy to look up. You can see where the property crime rate has skyrocketed, and the same in those other cities. We just don't want that to happen here.
I did look up the Austin numbers. They're similar to San Antonio. These are from the DPS crime report, and their most recent rankings came out in their 2021 report. It showed Austin ranked 34th in overall crime, 41 out of 41 largest cities in Texas, and San Antonio was ranked 36th. So not as bad as other cities, according to this DPS report.
But that's 2021. If you look at the 2022 to current of the first quarter, that changes.
Yeah, I tried to find that wasn't available.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, it's at 42%.
All right, so let's go to Ananda Thomas. Your reaction to the question, what happens in other cities?
Yes, so cities that have cite and release and cities that don't, you're still seeing the same spikes since the pandemic. Correlating factor is not cite and release, it's the after effects of the pandemic. Further than that, the district attorney's website has a great dashboard on cite and release, and so does SAPD. It does show that 67% of all citations given are for 2 ounces and below for marijuana. It shows that we have an 8% reoffender rate for folks that complete the diversion program. You can also see that we are still arresting over giving citations more to Black people, right, and to people of color. And we can see that there's a number of unspecified arrests, you know, that don't state why they chose to arrest over giving a citation. So, the data is all there. We've saved $5.6 million in tax dollars just based off booking costs alone. And when you do the math for how long it takes to book somebody, 3 to 4 hours per arrest, just based off the number of citations we've given, we have 4,000 officer hours for them to be on the streets to patrol, to be able to respond to these violent, more pressing crimes quicker. And that's the data and the stats that we have from this. And we know that we can continue to relieve the burden on officers, on the criminal justice system, on our overcrowded jails, and save tax dollars by passing this type form. And, you know, I think just further than that, just to state, there are hundreds and hundreds of laws on the books that are not citation eligible. If a non-citation eligible offense happens, officers have discretion to arrest the same way that they do if there's a terror threat, if there's a family violence incident, if they believe that anybody is in danger to self or others, they still, by state law, are allowed to arrest. And so there's a lot of discretion here left to the officers under cite and release.
Okay, let's go to another, let's go to a caller. The number is 833-877-8255, and Chris is on the air. And Chris, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. I first want to preface by saying I'm absolutely for legalization of marijuana and pro-choice. But this is not something I can get behind because I'm in retail, and I know what damage theft, small theft, shrinkage, whatever you want to call, to property by way of legalism does to my opportunity to get a raise. If I have dollars worth of products stolen from a store, I on average have to sell another $50 worth to make up for the theft.
All right, Chris. So I will put you down as opposed to Proposition A. We appreciate your call. So the issue that he says he's pro-choice. He'd like to see legalization of marijuana, but this thing is the poison pill about the issue of the shoplifting and all that. So, Danny Diaz, if this was just about abortion, would y'all have come out against it? Would y'all have gotten involved?
No, that's not something that we deal with. That again, the marijuana and the abortion issue is a state requirement, right? What people forget is we took an oath to uphold the laws that are in place. In the state of Texas, right now, we have to follow those rules. By doing this cite and release to these crimes, we're saying as professionals and experts in this field that it is a detriment to the community because it's going to be a domino effect when these businesses lose out on their merchandise. How are we going to gain that back? Small businesses are going to wind up closing like they have in other cities. And she mentioned earlier about officer discretion. This going into place takes away officer discretion. We will not be able to have that ability.
Yeah, but her point being is that you will give discretion to somebody and say, okay, I'll give you a pass and you can have a cite and release. And that person happens to be a white guy. And you give another person, you're going to hit them with the hammer of the law and they're not.
Yeah, no, here's the thing, sir. We don't arrest by race, color, or creed. We go by where the crimes are at. If we get called for the crime, that's what the officer's supposed to do. It is not about citing or just arresting people of color. I'm Hispanic. Technically, I'm a person of color. It doesn't work that way. San Antonio is different. The demographics of San Antonio, if you look at the Census Bureau, it's over, right around 60% Hispanic. Those numbers that were given from the department to city council do not show that we're just arresting people of color. That's not a fact at all.
Let me get a reaction to that from Ananda Thomas. Go ahead, Ananda.
Yes. So we do know that while our black community is 8% of our population here, they represent 17% of our folks in jail, right? And they do get arrested at a disproportionate rate. Also, in response to this gentleman, because I hear these concerns, somebody is caught shoplifting, that generally means that you catch them with this property that's returned to them. But a citation is a citation to appear to court. If you don't appear, you have a warrant out for your arrest. You may get fined once you appear to court. They might put you in jail if it's a jailable offense, which no Class C misdemeanor is jailable anyway. Or you can go to a diversion program. It has required community service and classes to fit the offense. And in cases where property has been damaged or stolen, restitution is to that business, to that property, is a required piece of your diversion. So we know that that's actually going back to the community to help them out. I also further advocate that we need to decide where these tax dollars we're saving go. And I think a small business fund to help those that do not have those large insurance plans is absolutely something that we can do, should do, and should have done. But this is not going to increase crime and property theft. In fact, the only message being played out there that's saying this is emboldening you to steal from the airways, from our police union. San Antonians don't need the letter of the law to follow a moral code. We are a good city and a moral city.
All right, we're taking another break. We're continuing our conversation about Prop A for and against. Bonnie, I see you on the board. We'll get you on the air when we come back from this break. If you got a question or comment, call in 833-877-8255. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies in San Antonio. We're having a citywide election. Early voting started today. Election day is May the 6th. And we have the race for mayor. We have 10 city council races that are up for grabs. And also we have Proposition A. It's been called the Charter Amendment. And it makes a number of polarizing changes to the San Antonio City Charter, mainly having to do with law and order, also dealing with abortion access, would decriminalize abortion in San Antonio. But would it really? You know, we know it's more complicated than that, but it's an important message to send. And anytime we can send a message about whether we are pro-life, pro-choice, it's probably a good opportunity. So that's something to consider. The number to call in is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And let's go to Bonnie on the phones. And Bonnie, you're on the air.
I was just wondering, because I was reading that there's a justice that needs to be appointed once this goes through and provided a staff by the San Antonio, where the budget is going to come into play for that to usher in these rules. And then has anybody consulted with the insurance companies as far as property damage and all that stuff it's going to do to our rates? And my comment is, obviously, I'm pro-life, or I'm pro-choice, pro-weed, and you can't do it if the state doesn't agree to it. So that's null and void. So I don't understand how this makes any sense. But if you could answer about the justice and right. the insurance premiums, I'd be appreciated.
All right. Thank you so much, Bonnie. So let's go to first to Ananda Thomas, Executive Director of Act4SA, the organization that did the petition drive and is asking people to vote in favor of Prop A. So we have this Justice Director. How do you see that working? And I have heard that the city council people say we could just name one of the assistant city managers the Justice Director, and that would comply with this charter change. Can you react?
Yes. So the Justice Director basically informs city council on policies to make sure it follows the goal of the San Antonio Justice Charter, which is a goal to reduce mass incarceration, pass police accountability, save scarce public safety tax dollars. So they're a policy analyst and consultant for this, but more so than that, they will also have to do at least quarterly impact statements and at least quarterly meetings with stakeholders, whether that's disability rights groups or immigrant justice groups, right, and the police. They are that mediator to make sure that those conversations are happening consistently and constantly between community and city council and police. And we want to make sure that they are an independent mediator with that, because many of us on the ground feel like it's very hard to get right into a meeting with the city manager or assistant city manager to make sure that things are happening constantly, that these conversations are happening constantly as we figure out how to make a safer, more just San Antonio for all.
Okay, and Danny Diaz, president of the San Antonio Police Officers Association, do you have a problem with making a justice director in City Hall?
Absolutely. It's creating a job. The job description that they put into this proposition is basically the job description of Deputy Assistant City Manager Maria Villagomez. I learned a long time ago you don't duplicate administrative positions because it's a waste of money. And there's several questions to that, and one of them is, why is this proposition only directed at SAPD? This does not include Bexar County. This does not include the constables.
But it's a charter, so the charter has to be with city.
Exactly, but what they're talking about here is the legalizing of marijuana and abortion. Those are other issues that depend on those law enforcement agencies also. The justice charter, the justice director, though, one of the mandates that they have in here is that they cannot not have any law enforcement experience nor have given to any law enforcement entity. During Prop B, the previous was that we needed more training, more training, more training. Well, if you don't have the experience, how do you know what training it is that they need? Secondly, what are we telling our military if they retire from the military or they leave the military? Are they going to be able to put their name in the hat to be a justice director? It's actually discriminating against them also, because if they're law enforcement in the military, they can't do it either. So what are we saying?
Do you see any benefit to having someone in City Hall who would be an advocate for decriminalization and trying to get crime rates down?
That is something that needs, the majority of those have to be done in Austin by changing some of those laws. Here locally, we already have a director that does that, and she works hand in hand with the chief. The Justice Department's even come down and stated in 2016 that we're one of the top leading cities in the United States, the top 15, with the policies and procedures that we have in place. We haven't gone that far. We haven't taken anything out of those policies and procedures. We've enhanced it by adding it. So if if the feds are saying that we're doing a great job with the director that we have now, which is Maria Villagomez and Eric Walsh, because at the time he was the our boss, why change it?
Well, they're saying they would just make Maria Villagomez the...
Absolutely.
The Justice Charter person.
I asked the mayor that on the dais. Let's just change her job title, and we already have one. It's just duplicating it.
Right. So they're saying that's probably what they would do. And that would be, and you would say, well, that's great, but it wouldn't actually accomplish anything for you. So let me get reaction to Ananda Thomas. If they just made the assistant city manager, deputy city manager, Maria Villagomez, the charter justice director, would that satisfy you?
No, I think a lot of the frustration here is that we do need somebody that is right full time, that conduit between community and police, that's mediating those conversations and talking to both sides. And I'm not saying that Maria Villagomez doesn't do that, but she has a whole list, right, of job duties and functions. That means that we are not able to keep these conversations flowing as frequently as we would like. You know, I think with Proposition B and even the uprisings from 2020, right, we know that folks are wanting to find public safety solutions. They're wanting to find racial justice solutions, and we need to have those conversations happening more frequently and flowing more frequently, and that's what having this separate position can do.
Well, let me ask you, Ananda Thomas, about the day after the election on May 7th, and we have the results in, and people are going to be reading into the results whatever they want. You know, that's always going to happen. And then when we have so much packed into Proposition A, we're probably going to get a lot of people looking at it as an abortion issue. If it is defeated, which I know you don't want, you're saying it's going to pass, but do you think that people are going to see it as, they're going to interpret that San Antonians don't support reproductive rights?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely what's writing on this. Do we, as a city who has led civil rights for Texas and the South historically, to continue to be that beacon of light and hope? Do we want to be the leaders not just on reproductive justice, but on criminal justice and on police reform? That's exactly what this vote is going to say, and it's going to let other cities know, can we do this? Can we pass abortion protections and access and rights in Texas and in the South? This is the first time this has been on the ballot in the entire South, and all, you know, eyes across many states are watching to see what happens here and if they can do the same as they're searching for answers.
And Danny Diaz, if the Prop A passes and the day after and people try to interpret what happened, what did we end up with? Are you going to see it as people were in favor of reproductive rights, or were they anti-law and order? What message do you think it will send if it passes?
I think people are focused more on the reproductive rights and the marijuana legalization, again, because of how the signatures were acquired or where they were going out, acquiring these signatures. The people that we've talked to and people that have called and that I've run into are saying, hey, we didn't know what was in the rest of it. We signed it because of this. That's wrong. And again, it's a lack of education from to the community. It could go both ways. All I know is that no matter what the outcome is, we still have to do our part of getting this community together and working together to keep this city safe.
Let's go to a caller, Kamala. Kamala, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks. And thanks to Ananda and all for giving us a chance to stand up for our rights, which is how I see it. But also I wanted to speak from the perspective of families with loved ones in jail for small misdemeanors and small crimes, and about the economic aspects of that, because we know that we're spending lots of money just going into the jail system to support the food that those guys need, when they could be spending it out on their own and there's small shops and stuff. So I would see that this charter would actually benefit all of the benefit economically our society and and work then toward reducing crime.
Okay, Kamala, thank you for that call. So right now we got to take a break. We got more callers we'll be getting on the air and some emails to read. The number to call in is 833-877-8255. We're talking about Proposition A. Where are you on this? What concerns do you have? And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, Danny Diaz, president of the San Antonio Police Officers Association. And Ananda Thomas is on the line. She's executive director of Act 4 SA and a driver of the Vote for Prop A movement. And so we've got a call, a question. Give us a call, 833-877-8255. And let's go to Francis. Francis, let me get you lit up. You're on the air, Francis. Go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. I just seems to be very little information on the proposition for it. I just wonder why that is, how they can expect to pass this proposition.
What do you mean, little information?
Well, by comparison, the anti-Proposition A people are bombarding voters with their information. But I have to go out of my way to find out what Proposition A is all about.
All right. Thank you for that, Francis. Appreciate your call. Ananda Thomas, you certainly have been outspent in this campaign. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So the first campaign finance report from the Protect SA PAC showed that they'd spent almost $900,000. We have, across all our city council and mayor candidates, 58 candidates with Prop A 59 items on the ballot. This was 41% of the total funds raised across all those candidates and items, meaning that they are drowning out this misinformation and this fear on all the airwaves, but even drowning out other candidates that are running for city council offices. We are out in the community doing grassroots organizing at the doors, on the phones, at community events where we can, but we were never going to be able to afford TV ads because this is grassroots. This is people powered. And we don't have $1 million to spend, but that doesn't mean that we aren't doing the work. And the conversations we're having in person, everybody loves somebody who has needed reproductive health access or has smoked weed or has been affected by mass incarceration and knows how much that can affect the rest of their lives for something that they might have done when they're young. And it resonates with our community because we choose solutions over fear and misinformation every day.
Danny Diaz, y'all have raised a lot of money. You have been very aggressive, messaging, campaign signs. How has that been going for you?
Well, first off, sir, the money that we've used is all officers' money. It hasn't come from anywhere else. So we collected this money from the officers because we knew this proposition is a detriment not only to policing the way we know it, but also this community where 80% of our officers actually are from here, born and raised, and still live here. So they don't want this city to go south. Look, we didn't start this proposition. We don't have the ability to be out block walking on a daily basis like the other side does. And I've commented on that they do a great job of grassroots. The way that I can educate as many people as I can is having to spend officers' money and have those ads running so that people know the facts and not being misled.
All right. We want to get to the other voicemail that we have, and let's give it a listen.
My name is Linda Carroll Hill, and I'm 70 years old. I've been a registered voter since I was 18 when that first became a law. So that's how long I've been voting. I want to know who is responsible for bunching all of that together. It would have been just as cheap and not cost that much ink to put on the ballot to make each a separate proposal. Who's responsible for clustering all that together? Thank you. Bye.
We've had other comments like that. A caller, David, said he's pro-abortion. He's pro reproductive rights and he wants marijuana legalization, but it's all bundled together that he's going to be not be voting for Proposition A. So, Ananda Thomas, why did y'all bundle all of this together? And is that really working for you?
Yeah, so, you know, the conversations that we're having are really enlightening and great as we're educating folks, right, that these are all tied, right? Because we have threatened doctors and their patients with life in jail for seeking an abortion, it's become a policing issue. It's become a public safety issue, right? You can't talk about criminal justice now if you don't talk about reproductive justice, if you don't talk about immigrant justice, if you don't talk about racial justice. And a coalition of organizations that have been frustrated, not just with our state, but even our city elected officials being slow to protect us, passing watered down policies or never giving policies a chance to be heard on the floor, came together to write this. The final decision at the end of the day first fell on city council if they wanted to split this up. And second, the Texas Supreme Court had its chance, who both decided that this should go together as a sweeping criminal justice reform. Most things on here are things that are already happening. Cite and release will continue whether Proposition A fails or not. Same with banning of no-knock warrants and chokeholds and decriminalization of weed. What you do have to gain here is that we can make our voice heard, that we want solutions. We want to continue moving forward and that we will be the first city in the South to decriminalize abortion. And that's something worth voting for. We know that we can change our city charter again in 2 years and amend language, whether that's through city council putting up a measure or folks collecting signatures to amend this for what works better or what they think might work better if it's not perfect for them. But we have to try something because so many lives are at stake. And when our city like leadership and state leadership won't legislate the way we need them to, it's up to us to legislate ourselves. And that's exactly what we are doing.
And Ananda, I've read that there is a provision that allows these parts of Prop A to be severed. If one is tossed out by the courts for whatever reason, the rest will stand. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's the last line. If something gets shot down in the courts, that doesn't mean that we won't win on the rest of these measures. And we did that intentionally, knowing we were trying something transformative and imaginative, and we didn't want to lose everything because of one single part of this.
Danny Diaz, let me ask you, President of the San Antonio Police Officers Association, you had a text message says that you continue to distort by suggesting that cite and release is basically letting people get away with a crime. Citing means people are accused of a crime and they must come back to defend themselves in court. Is that right?
Well, first off, we don't threaten doctors. Secondly, if you look at the way that the citations that we're doing now for marijuana, no one's going to court, no one's getting fined. And if that's what's happening there, what do you think is going to happen with property crime? And that's where we're coming at it from
that
standpoint.
If you're being cited and released, you still have to follow up on that and go to court, or there will be a warrant out for you, and you know you're not letting people get off scot-free. There are consequences.
That's the way the process is supposed to work, but it's not working that way currently.
All right. And meanwhile, you're saying if you catch people shoplifting now, they get a ride downtown.
It depends on the severity of it, right? Understanding that police is not like any other job where it's cut and dry. There's other things that fall into place, right? There's other offenders, they've been arrested before, those types of things. There's a lot of different issues that go into play. Can we cite and release people? Sure, absolutely. The difference is currently we have discretion whether to do it or not. If this goes into play, we won't have that discretion. We just issue the citation and send people on their way with a verbal warning.
For a first-time offender?
There'll never be any more than less than a first-time offender, because if they go through the diversion program or they don't get convicted or go to court for these citations, there's no conviction. So they'll always be, you know, first time offender.
Let's go to a caller, Aaron. And Aaron, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I appreciate this debate. It's extremely informative. So thank you for that. My issue is the banning of no-knock warrants. Are warrants such an issue here? where we have to take that action, or is this a knee-jerk reaction to Breonna Taylor? To clarify, what I mean is, do the SAPD incorrectly serve warrants at such a high frequency where that needs to be a concern?
All right. Thank you for that great call, Aaron. So, Danny Diaz, no-knock warrants in SAPD?
No, sir. That's not a concern here. So, it is a pretty much what happened across the country that was sweeping through, where a lot of cities did no-knock warrants because of that incident. It's still in play here. But I will tell you that there's very few times that there's not a problem with officers going into the wrong house here. That's not an issue. I know Ananda has stated that it's to keep officers safe. Look, I spent 22 years on the SWAT team. I'm here to tell you that no-knock warrants are a tool of the trade that is needed to keep this city safe. Those warrants are only run for drug houses, murder suspects, their felony cases. When we are not able to do that, we're just letting the drugs run free, stash houses, selling out of those houses, things of that sort. They're not for misdemeanors. So I don't understand why people would want not
so
to
you can't
have that.
Do a note. You can't do a knock warrant on those places. You know. Let me go to get a reaction from Ananda Thomas. You have about a minute.
Yes. So no knock warrants were banned in 2020 in the Police Policies and Procedures Manual, and we'd like to codify it into place. But we've expanded this because we know that there are going to be life-threatening circumstances and other circumstances where they need to be served and a judge will sign off. And we've laid out policy and procedure for that. Know if there's children, know if there's elderly folks, are there disabled folks, clearly be dressed as an officer, service at hours when children are not home, if possible, when they're school age, test your audio and video recording devices, right? Full policy and procedure that right. Not only protects the officers, but will protect the community members as well.
Ananda Thomas is the executive director of Act 4 SA, former deputy director of Fix SAPD. She is encouraging people to vote in support of Proposition A. Danny Diaz with us in the studio. He is the president of the San Antonio Police Officers Association. They have been taking the lead, asking people to vote against Proposition A. Thank you both for joining us this afternoon. We appreciate having this conversation. The polls are open today from 8 to 8 p.m., and they will be daily through Thursday. There's no voting on Fiesta Friday. They open again on Saturday, and then on Monday, May 1st, and Tuesday, May 2nd. And the election day is on May the 6th. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies, with production support from Kayla Padilla and Mark Hutchison. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. Support for The Source comes from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.